Good morning, welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be learning together Iyov Perek Chof Vov, the 26th chapter of the book of Iyov. And at this point in time, we have now heard three runs of each of the three friends of Iyov, with the exception of Sofer, who only was in the running for two rounds. But now we've finally heard the end of the friends speaking. Bildad has made his last speech, and now Iyov responds. We're going to hear a few psukim of responses, so Perek Chof Vov, our Perek, is a self-contained unit, but as we will see, the next few prakem will be a few different responses, begadol, in general, to his friends. So let's start off with this perek, and at this point in time, this is a perek of 14 psukim, and Iyov is responding to Bildad's third speech. Remember that Bildad has made the claim that sometimes you'll see injustice because the hashkacha pratis, which would govern the tzaddik or the rasha, will be eclipsed by the hashkacha Klalis, the general Hashkacha, the general providence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore you may see things which look unjust, a poor person who deserves more not getting as much, a person who deserves less getting much more because of general systems in place. So Iyov makes a very good point here, and in the first four psukim he says, you know what? You're actually helping my argument. You're helping what you thought was a weak argument at the beginning. What did I say to you at the beginning, said Iyov? I told you that Hashem has a system of general observance of the world, general hashkacha, and he isn't involved necessarily in all the small details. Isn't that essentially the same thing that we're all saying? And therefore, there's injustice because there are people who don't get their due ends because of the general hashkacha. Well, that's exactly what I was saying, says Iyov. The Rishayim's punishment is eclipsed and the reward of the Tzadikim is eclipsed because of the bigger system. That's the injustice I was asking you from the beginning, so you've actually acceded to my idea. This is where the Malbim understands it. He makes a second point in Psukim Hey and Vov, which are very difficult Psukim to understand. One way of looking at them, the way they're translated are as follows. Just the direct translation of them is Harufaim yecholalu mitachas maim v'shechnem. The shades tremble beneath the waters and their denizens. Arim sheol negdoi ve'ein kesus la'avodon sheol. The netherworld is naked before him. Abandon abadon has no cover. What does this mean? So the one way the Malim interprets this is that that in mythology. Some people suggest that, you know what it is, people will live again. And this has kind of come up in the arguments of the friends. There's going to be life after death. So he says, well, there's no way. There's nothing left. The bodies are dead. The bodies are biodegraded. There's nothing left for the soul to find as covering as ksus. That's one way of looking at it. The Malbim has a different way of looking at it. And that is the following. And this comes back to the general thesis. You say that there's a system in place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls, and that system is not going to be interrupted by individuals' actions. Okay, well, that system you talked about was in the control of the celestial world, the Mazalot, the Zodiac. But, truth be told, that does not talk about the waters. Why can't it be that you flood out the Rishayim? Why don't you remove those who are evildoers using a flood? And he goes on using the rest of the parak to explain this. The rest of the parak really is a very poetic description of the powers of Hashem, both in the depths of the oceans and in the celestial spheres of the skies, just the great expanse of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation. What is the argument that he's making from Psukim Zion to Yodal at the end of the parak? So the Malbim says the basic assumption is like this. Is waters originally covered the earth? And then later on in creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated the waters, heaven and sky, and then he pushed the waters to the oceans, which means that the first natural state of water is to be over the earth, which means pushing it back is unnatural. And the way it is seen, the way that Iyov is describing this metaphysically, is that there's a constant work, there's a constant effort of HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushing back the waters into the oceans, where Hashem to release that pressure, that Hashem is causing the land to exist, based on his breath, he's pushing it into place, where Hashem to release that, then the world will be covered with a flood again. And that's exactly what happened at the times of the Mabul. We need to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu released the pressure of keeping everything in check and in order, and chaos ensued. The waters covered the earth. So what the Malbim is saying is like this. The way the Malbim understands Iyov is, you said that there's a greater system in place, and that's why the Rishayim can't get punished, because they deserve to be treated nicely, because the people around them in the world and the ecosystem needs to be in place. But I don't understand. That ecosystem does not include the waters because their natural state is actually covering over the earth. Hashem is only withholding it, which means all Hashem needs to do is simply, you know, pull back the power, the energy, the waters will take over the earth and destroy these people. So why not do that? Why is that? Why are they subscribed to the system of Hashgacha Klalis? That's the argument that the way the Malbim understands Eov is making it. However, to understand the Perek on a more simple and basic level, the Malbim is often very complex in his way of describing things. The Mitzvot David says at the end of the Perek, in his summary at the end of the Perek, on every last pasuk in the Perek, Mitzvot David, he gives a summary, and he says, no. All he's saying is like this. Bildad, you told me you know a lot about Hashem, and you know about the grandeur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me tell you something, Bildad. I know how Hashem works, too. I understand how complex it is, and let me tell you how complex it is. The way he works the clouds, which he describes as Nachash, and the Tzafon over the water, and I understand the complexities of this universe. Which makes my question stronger, says Eov. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so powerful, and the human being is so mortal, and so lowly, then surely HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the power to be able to exact Hashgacha Pratis over people. Why can't HaKadosh Baruch Hu look after people? Why is there injustice? Why are the Rishayim prospering? That's the way he asks it. The Rashab deepens this idea of the Mitzvot, and that he points out that the whole Perek works together. At the beginning, when he was describing the first few Psukim, were not about arguments, but about the human state. He says, yes, I'm lowly. Yes, when a human being dies, they sink to the depths, and then their bodies by degrade, and then their bones are taken into the oceans and the riverbeds, and they dissipate, whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of the whole world. I get that. And so therefore, the end of the Perek is, Hein Eilek, it's so starkoi. These are just the edges of describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power. Uma shemetz dawar nishma boi, v'ram gevuros sov miyis boinan. Nobody can really understand his actions, but that's true. The more powerful he is, the more justice you would expect to see. That's what seems to be missing over here as Eov makes this argument. That's a much more simple argument than that of the way the Malbim understands this Perek. I want to just put one pasuk in focus for the moment, and that's pasuk Zion. Noter Tzafon al Tohu, Hashem stretched out Tzafon, which is north, or here the hidden one, over the waters of the chaos. Toleh Eretz al Belima. He suspended earth over emptiness. Belima literally means breath as well. So it's interesting. The Gemara in Chulin makes a very fascinating point, and it says that the Gemara over there on Pei Tes Amud Aleph is contrasting Avram Avinu and Moshe and Aaron. You see, when it came to Avram Avinu, and he presents himself in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm so lowly. I am afar v'efer, I am dust and ashes. But Moshe and Aaron were even more than that. They said, Nachnu ma, we are nothing. We're not even ashes. We're nothing, we're a void. And the Gemara goes on to say, in the name of Rava, some say Rabbi Yochanan, Ein olam iskayem el bidu bishvil Moshe v'Aaron. The world is sustained because of Moses and Aaron. Because they said, Nachnu ma, tole eretz al belima. HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended the earth on nothingness, meaning, on the humility of human beings is where the earth is suspended. The Gemara goes on to say one more comment, which is such a countercultural idea today. And that is, Rabbi Elias says, when Hashem only keeps the world going because of a person who holds back, who bites their tongue, who does not lash out viscerally at a person who has insulted them. That Hashem depends the world on those who do nothing, belima, do nothing or holds their breath in when being insulted. What a very powerful description over here. This is so countercultural today. Today, if you can't get to shout at a person or abuse a person verbally, then you at least turn to social media and besmirch them in that direction. There's no notion in society today to be able to hold back and to have the wisdom and the fortitude and the resilience and the humanity to withhold what it is that you want to say when you wish to say it. And this is a very, very, very powerful idea, which reflects the notion of the general Perek, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has certain parameters in the world. Wow! And those parameters are also reflective of the human condition when we act in a godly way, which is Tole Eretz al Belima as well. Just an idea of one example of a pasuk and the depths that can be found in these parakim. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.